Now, of course, today, as we've been saying, is Mothering Sunday, a day which can be joyful for many, but a day I think that can also be quite difficult for some, poignant and painful. For example, earlier this week, I heard the heartbreaking story of a mum from Surrey. She is our song that got me through Gaz this morning. And I must warn you before I go any further, this is a really difficult listen. But as Julia herself says, it's an important story for her to share because there is a stigma around the loss of children. And she now wants to do all she can to try and support other families who have been through, well, the horrifying experience that she has been through. But as I say, it is a really hard listen. So if you do have little ears around, you might want to switch off for a bit. You see, Julia's three-year-old twins were allegedly murdered by their father 7 years ago. And as I say, Julia has now launched the first dedicated support hub for parents who lose children through violence. Julia, first of all, let me just start by saying just how sorry I was to hear of everything you've been through and just so sorry for your loss. How are you doing? I mean, silly question probably, but...
The changes in the beginning obviously was very difficult, and I was living in my own emotional bubble mess. But with time, it does get easier because you get used to it, I suppose. It's been now 7 years, so I've come far in my healing journey. But obviously, it's something that never stops. You always have this grief with you, and you just learn to live with it.
Yeah, God, very tough. Tell us about Maximo and Octavia. What were they like?
Octavia was very difficult. She was very strong-headed. And she would scream down the house if she didn't get her way. And with Maximo, he was very patient with her. So if she wanted a toy, she would just take it and he would let her do it. So he was very good, quiet, and would always watch her, how she would do things. And then 2 weeks later, he would follow in her footsteps. So she was always first to walk, first to crawl, and then he would take his time and follow later.
Bless him.
But they were both very active and played very nicely together. So it was it like having twins, you know, they keep each other company. And I always looked forward to that when before I knew I was having twins. I thought it would be a great thing.
Yeah, they'd always have each other. I almost don't want to ask this next question, but... I feel I must. If it's not too painful for you, can you talk us through what happened?
Sure. So I had left them with their father to spend a part of the Easter holidays with them.
So you were separated at that point, were you? Or
we were divorced.
Right.
Yeah. So I dropped them off and then they spent the next 2 weeks with him. And then when I fetched them again, we had agreed we would go and eat ice cream all together to show them that, you know, we were amicable and would be able to stay in the same room together without getting into an argument. Mm. So when I arrived, he opened the door without me having to knock. And he showed me in and told me to be quiet because they were asleep. I walked in past the little kitchen into the sitting room and sat down, and he sat down opposite me and just looked at me. And then I said to him, what are we doing? Why didn't you tell me they were asleep? I could have come later. Why are you just looking at me? You know, I didn't say all of that, but that's what I was thinking. And he just said that he was going to make my life as painful as I had made his. And so my immediate thought was, okay, he's going to ask for trying to get full custody of the kids or make something more difficult. I don't know. I thought, okay, what's his plan? And then he got up and went to the kitchen, and I turned around and stood up as well. And I saw him with a knife in his hand. And so I kind of asked him, what are you doing? You know, the kids are asleep upstairs. And then he said that they were dead upstairs. And I didn't believe him. It was like a movie I was watching or something. It felt so surreal.
I mean, I can't even begin to imagine what goes through your head at a moment like that. And obviously, he was still saying at this point he was going to kill you as well.
Yes, so he said, take a knife and kill me, or I will kill you. I just kind of ignored him. I asked him at one point, you know, where is Caesar? And he said he was fine. But I was just more consumed with the twins and just in such a shock that I couldn't really put many thoughts together. But I don't know how much time passed. And at some point I realized I have to get out. I have to check on Caesar. I have to see that he's in school or that he's fine. And though that led to that, it was at the top of the building, so it led to the roof. I opened it and I climbed to the top of the roof. And then I thought I'd try and get somebody's attention, but there was nobody around and I didn't want to scream, so not to let him know that I had gotten out. Wriggled down over my stomach and held on to the gutter to let myself go and jumped down onto the landing. And then I ran to the gate. So I ran to the guard and told him to call the police. And while I ran to him, I saw that my car was missing and I realized, oh, he had left and taken my car.
Gosh, you mentioned your other son. I mean, you must have been really fearful for his safety as well at that point, Caesar.
Yeah. That's why I thought, OK, I have to get out of here. I have to check. He's fine.
Well, thankfully, Caesar was OK. Honestly, she's so brave, isn't she? We're going to hear the second part of my interview with Julia Engelhorn after this. Well, you join me mid-interview with Julia Engelhorn, a mother from Surrey, who I would imagine is having a tricky day today. And I think it's important when we talk about Mothering Sunday, we reflect that it is really complex for people. Of course, she has her son Caesar and her daughter Freya, but I'm sure she will very much be thinking of Octavia and Maximo, who she lost 7 years ago. She's been incredibly brave in sharing her story with us. Just in case you missed the first part, she's been explaining how she believes her young twins were killed by their father. However, it never actually went to trial, as she explains.
It never came to trial because, I mean, everything takes much longer than TV leads you to believe. Mm. And so there was bail hearing after bail hearing, and that took forever. And in the beginning, there was a concern for his mental health, if he was suicidal or not, ironically, because in the end, he killed himself. But I think there was also a problem with finding a translator, because he did speak English, but they wanted to make sure that he would understand what was going on. So that was a big problem that delayed also everything. So when they were able to prove that he was premeditative, because he gave them medicine that was only for epilepsy, for people with epilepsy, and he was not able to get it over the counter in South Africa, so he had to bring it in with him, and he didn't have it. So then after that, he killed himself.
Oh, gosh, you poor babies. Were there any signs before this that he could do something like this?
No, I mean, I'd never thought, you know, that he would be able to do something like that. So our divorce was awful, and he did everything possible to make it difficult. But you never think, okay, he's capable of something like that, because, I mean, who is? No, it's not many people.
No. And do you think it was his way of getting revenge on you?
I think so, yes. I mean, that's what he said. Yeah. Oh. That he wanted me in so much pain. And I think in the end he did not kill our oldest son, Caesar, because he had formed a relationship with him and was more present. And with the twins, he wasn't. So it was maybe easier for him to do it.
Mm. And how is Caesar? I mean, how has he managed to get his head around of all of this?
I mean, it's difficult. He was only 7 when it happened, and he suffered a lot from survivor skills. And obviously, he loved his father. He was Mario was very good with him, and so he didn't understand how his father could do something like that to his brother and sister, and why he didn't kill him.
God, you've just all been through so much. You've now set up this website. preciousscars.org, and it's all about supporting parents who have lost children at the hands of abusive partners, because I know you didn't feel as though there was much support at all available when this happened to you.
Exactly. And I mean, especially in South Africa. Obviously, here in England, I can't compare at the same time. Now there is a lot of support. Maybe it was the same 7 years ago. But it didn't seem, especially surrounding losing children through violence. And I think because it's such a difficult subject, people avoid it. They don't want to talk about or hearing about somebody having lost a child. So it's, I don't see it as an easily accessible support system around.
The website is preciousscars.org. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. And I'm sure, you know, that site will be of great use to people who tragically are going through what you've been through. And we always ask our guests at this point, Julia, for the song that has kind of got them through, or a song that inspires them. Have you got one you could share with us?
Yeah, well, there are two, but one is probably not so not the best song to listen to. It depends. But I mean, my twins, they loved Fireball by Pitbull. It was a favorite song at the time they died. But then after they died, there was one day when I was one of the first times I was cooking in the kitchen, and a soft breeze kind of blew open the kitchen door, and the song that was playing on the radio. Sorry. It was I Will Always Love You.
Julia.
Yeah. Well, look, sorry, sometimes it comes up.
No, I totally get it. I mean, I have to say, I think you're incredibly brave. The way you're able to talk about what's happened, you know, in such a calm, measured way is it's amazing. You know, you've shown such bravery. But yeah, like you say, there's gonna be moments where the emotion gets too much, right? Of course.
Yeah, and I think it's one of the healing things is to talk about it, because it helps to get those emotions out, because the more you keep them in, the worse it gets.
Yeah, totally. Well, look, let's play this song then, shall we, for Maximo and Octavia. Thank you so much, Julia.
Thank you very much.
Lots of love. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.